You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. And now time for the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show. We're glad to have you tuned in today and listening to us and or watching on YouTube or Facebook. And you can see that we've got the whole gang is here. And one part of the gang that's missing is doing some work at home, helping us, and I'm dedicating the show today, gentlemen, to our IT manager, Brett, and Brett's at home playing with the IT stuff while I'm screwing everything else up here at the station. But Brett actually has given me the idea for our show today called Wire Harnesses. So we're dedicating the show to Brett and His changing the wire harness. He had thought that he was having an alternator problem, but it come to find out it was actually the wire harness. So, the whole show, Classic Car Show, is dedicated to a great IT, and you all, if you're interested in a great IT, you stay away from him. I'll shoot you on sight. He is doing everything for the station, and we certainly do appreciate Brett and all that he's done. So, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
This feels like old times and out of memory lane or something, having everybody here.
It's been a long time since we've done anything on wire harnesses. We interviewed Y and Z, but that's got to be 10 years ago.
Wow, how time flies.
Especially when you're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we having fun yet after 15 years?
Yeah. Really nothing to do with wiring harnesses, but I saw that if you are into electrical stuff at all, I would recommend that you go see a movie that we went to last week called The Current War. And it's the battle between Tesla, Edison, and Westinghouse over electrifying the United States. It's done very well. Doesn't pick one over the other. It's a very, very interesting story, and it really did have a giant effect on the car industry too.
Yeah.
All of this stuff.
Yeah.
But if you have any interest in electrical stuff, it's quite an amazing thing.
Let me ask Steve, did it bring in the fact that Edison and Henry Ford were best friends?
No, this is long before that. This is in the late 1800s.
Okay, well, I don't know that would have been long before they were friends.
But it had nothing to do with cars. The main thing was that Edison was, I've read books about all three of them. That Edison was sort of a con man. and
imagine that.
And he predicted that he was the DC guy, and he electrified the first section of a city. He did 1 square mile in New York, and that's all he could do. Because as DC moves, just like in a car, and cars are DC, for the most part, some of the new ones have some AC circuits in them. But first of all, DC is direct current, AC is alternating current, the sine waves move up and down. DC current loses its power as it moves. So in order for Edison to electrify the United States, he would have had to have generators quite often. And Westinghouse was an AC guy, and AC was actually winning. And the big tale was going to be 1898 World's Fair, to electrify the grounds for the World's Fair in Chicago. They called it the White City, and that's another great book about these guys called The White City. And then Tesla came over from, was it Latvia?
Latvia, I think.
Yeah, anyway. And he worked for Edison first. He got hired on for Edison. And he actually believed in AC, not DC. So he and Edison had a lot of fights over stuff. and he built, he tried to convince him AC won't work or DC won't work because it goes away, just actually goes away over stuff. And now I'll get into some of the car stuff we're talking about in just a minute. And then the only way Edison deep down in his heart knew that he had picked the wrong horse in this race. So he's tried, he tried to convince the world that, that, AC was dangerous. And of course it's the other way around. DC is dangerous. And he got this horse and he made this thing to electrify this horse, but he used, AC, but he used like 900 billion zillion volts of electricity to kill this horse in the public. And actually, when they did the stuff for the White City, the World's Fair, Westinghouse won. And the story is that, that Edison never said the name Westinghouse again as long as he lived. And Tesla just totally went whacked out in left field. He said, you don't need wires. He said, I can generate electricity to houses and buildings and businesses in the air. And if you know what a Tesla coil is, you've seen them like at Spencer's Gift where you touch the globe and the electricity comes to you because you complete the ground circuit.
Right.
And he said he could do that. And he built this thing out on Long Island to electrify New York, this big, huge, weird-looking structure. And every time he turned it on and tried to shoot electricity, it got so hot it burned down three times. And then he died, and he died penniless.
Wow.
He was in a poorhouse. He had nothing.
Huh.
So anyway, just sort of an aside to Wiring Harness, if you've not seen that movie, if you're any kind of a motorhead or a tech head guy or girl, it's a very interesting story. And it's a good story. And they did it very well. It's sort of goofy, but this one was done pretty well.
Good.
Yeah, so that's one worth going to. Another thing.
And the title is?
Again, The Current War.
The Current War.
Yeah. We went to Sears last night, just for the guys in Georgia more than anything. I went to this, at the mall, there's a Sears store at the mall in Kennesaw. And I asked the guy if they survived, and he said yes. And picture a Metro Atlanta with over 6 million people in it. That will be the only Sears store in all of Metro Atlanta. The rest will all be gone, and the only other one in the state will be in Augusta.
Huh.
All the rest of the Sears stores in the state will be gone after January 1st.
Wait a second. What about the lifetime guarantee on their tools?
Well, that's...
Craftsman.
Craftsman is picked up by... Yes. The name was picked up by Lowe's and also by Ace Hardware.
Well, Stanley.
Yeah, I remember
Stanley Bottom.
Stanley Bottom.
Stanley Bottom.
Stanley Bottom. But the name, you can do Craftsman stuff at Lowe's or at Ace Hardware.
A real true blue mechanic back in the old days would never have a Craftsman tool. They would always have the Snap-on or the
Mac.
Or Mac, yeah. But never.
And Proto. Proto was the other
one.
Yeah,
that was more special tools.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's kind of it's kind of a sad note to history that.
I mean, downtown Atlanta had a huge.
Oh, God, it was a monster
store at one time.
Like six or eight, nine stories high, whatever.
St. Louis had one too. Yeah.
And now it's a condo building.
Yeah.
And offices, half is work and half is...
You know, it's obviously somebody turned left when they should have turned right.
Well, there was a mistake. They bought Kmart.
Yeah.
And that's what killed Sears.
Yeah.
It was just bad management.
Bad management.
Yeah. And another thing that made me kind of angry, talking to this guy, I have a lot of, and I'm sure most guys that listen have a lot of 19.2 Craftsman tools. They are no longer supporting the 19. This is another stupid business decision. The 19.2 tools. You can't even buy a battery through Sears anymore. They quit. They want you to buy their new line of 20. So what does that do for brand loyalty?
Huh.
Their new brand of
their 20. Their new brand of cordless tools is a 20-volt with a different configured battery. So everybody with the 19.2-volt tools, like the cordless impacts lights and saws and all of that, Sears is no longer supporting. I asked the guy, I said, would you have any in the store at Kennesaw Mall? And he goes, no. Hmm. Not one battery do we have. So, guys, just a word of caution. You're either going to have to go to something else. And if I'd have known this, because Sears never used to do stuff like this.
No.
No. They're going to 20 volts. I would have bought DeWalt or Milwaukee. And stayed with them because they don't do that.
Yeah.
I've had very good luck with Milwaukee.
Me too.
Milwaukee's one of the best.
Yeah, me too.
DeWalt and Milwaukee are the top of the line, then probably Makita.
I've only had one Makita thing, and I traded it in for.
Yeah, they don't have the power.
Yeah.
They just don't have the power, generally speaking. So anyway, just a word of caution, guys. You need to start looking around if you I just ordered two batteries for 19.2 off of eBay.
Ah.
You can still find them on eBay, and somebody told me that Batteries Plus is making 19.2 for Craftsman, because there's so much out there.
We had a guy on from Batteries Plus a few years ago, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, that's
we
that.
Did.
That's kind of makes you mad because Sears never used to do stuff. This is just strictly an idiotic marketing idea by some moron in some corporate office somewhere.
Well, anyway, I thought we were going to harness this show.
We're going to harness it right now.
Okay.
Put it on the old gray mare.
All right. Well, we've got our electrical authority that, you know, you've heard about Edison, Westinghouse, Tesla, and Rinaldo.
And Rinaldo, yeah.
Back when I was working, I used to like to do electrical stuff.
Well, when you taught, you simplified it, and you know.
It's the easiest thing on a car. There is nothing easier than electricity, because electricity doesn't sort of work. It either does or doesn't. It just doesn't sort of. It either does or doesn't.
No in between.
No, no.
That's a shocking thought.
Half pregnant.
Yeah, so anyway, the big thing, of course, now, we start at the beginning. In the beginning, their cars didn't have any kind of a charging system. They had a battery system, and they were 6-volt, and they were small. Like my Maxwell has what we used to call telephone batteries, and there's a switch on the dash. You turn it to 1, you hand crank it, start it up. There's no electric lights. There's no nothing. All there is, and it feeds a coil, a vibrator, big wooden vibrator coil, and that's how it runs. So when that battery dies, you switch to battery 2 and restart. It takes about 20 hours to kill a telephone battery. You switch to battery 2, and then you go buy another one. There was no charging system.
But can you still buy telephone batteries?
Well, no, but what guys do, like I did, they went and got a golf cart.
Oh, golf cart.
The golf cart, 6-volt, big batteries, and you modify the holder, and they have like, I don't know how many hours a golf cart can run, and you're pulling a lot, and all you're doing is running. The guy told me that the 6-volt golf cart battery needs to be charged after about a week to 10 days of consistent use, because they have so much power in them.
Now, what else did you have to do to the system? Did you have to change the gauge of the wire?
No, because that's another thing. Let me get to where I am with this, and we'll talk about that. That's an excellent question, the gauge of the wire. One of the things when you're dealing with electrical stuff, especially in cars, you got to remember it's DC. All right, electricity and components only take what they need. You cannot force anything that's electrical to take more than it needs in DC. You can't. It's impossible. The thing will blow up. Whatever it is you're trying to do, it's designed to take X amount. And that's it of amperage. And we're talking about amperage, not voltage. 6 volt is a constant. 12 volt is a constant. 24 volt is a constant. Now there's 48 volt systems that are constant. That's just what they are. But what it takes is the power, which is amperage. And you can only, it'll only take what it needs. For example, if you unplugged a standard headlight, and if you had an ammeter in line with that, and an ammeter does go in line, don't ever put on one leg of the ammeter to ground or you'll burn it up. It goes in line with whatever component you're trying to check, and it's showing you how much it needs. So if you put that and you took that headlight bulb out that was working, nothing yeah. wrong with it, but put in one of the new LED light bulbs, you'll see almost infinitesimal amperage required by that. And that bulb is not going to take the same amount as the old incandescent headlight bulb. It just mm-hmm. doesn't. It only takes what it needs.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 volt, then 6 volt came first. Simply because of the telephone battery. Oh, you ready? I'm going to stop.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was asleep at the switch, and we need to take a break right quick. You're listening to the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber on America's Web Radio. And we want to salute and tip our hats, by the way, to the UK that listens religiously to the show. And we understand we're number one over in the UK.
Yes, but British volts are different.
Pardon? Oh, yeah, they're backwards. All their stuff is bass-ackwards. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
Hi, this is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. Just talking to you about antique car insurance. I think that if you're looking for the best coverage for your classic car, consider J.C. Taylor Insurance. They've been my insurer for years in this hobby and have the top rating of all of the insurance companies in the hobby. When you get ready for insurance, call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com on the Internet.
If your health insurance premium is more than your mortgage, Ellen Deal with Ideal Solutions is here to help. Whether you're a small business owner, individual, family, or baby boomer, email MAGA45CAG with 3 easy questions to help you determine if you can get away from Obamacare. As a 20-year veteran of the insurance industry, I'm here to help with all your insurance needs. Email Ellen Deal at MAGA45CAG@gmail.com.
And we're back on the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio, and we want to thank everybody that's tuning in today and also that'll be listening to us on our archive. We archive all the programs on our website, as well as you can go to YouTube and subscribe and go to, yes, America's Web Radio, and or go to Facebook. And you can watch Mr. Rinaldo, and you need to adjust your toupee, Jim. But anyway, and Mr. Weber do their thing on America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show. And it's amazing the folks that know you guys, and we appreciate the years and years. Steve's been doing this now for 15 years, right,
yeah,
Steve?
Yeah,
quite a while. So, and it's appreciated across the country, and today we're talking wire harnesses. And they're almost like a secret or hidden illness. They don't show up until they show up.
Yeah, if it hooks up, it's going to work.
But anyway, back to what we were talking about. We start with 6 volts. Okay, and American cars use 6-volt stuff all the way up into the early 50s. Most everything was 6-volt. It was adequate for what we needed, because you go back and take a look at those cars. All they did was crank a starter motor. All they did was fire an ignition system. All they did was play a radio. and a fan motor for the heater. That was the only thing that was electrical in the car and the lights. You know, that there wasn't much, so there wasn't a lot of requirement. But the problem with 6-volt is, oh, when you're doing stuff and you're doing harness, say, if it's a simple car like that, I would prefer to make my own wiring harness. You could, there are several companies that make a fuse block that you can buy and install it and run your own gauge wire and your own fuses, whatever you want to use. Now, and 6 volts, that tends to be more critical because, again, wire is a restriction to electrical flow. The bigger the wire, the more electricity you can flow. Simple. So I look at all these guys with their 6-volt systems, and I'll go to a car show, and I'll see a guy with something like my Cadillac or like my Model A, and I'll look at the battery cables, and they have like 4 or 6 gauge battery cables. And a starter motor, a 6-volt starter motor, when it turns on, it just says, give me everything. So, and what you're doing is the battery says, okay, but the pipe I'm feeding you with is really small. So if you're doing 6-volt stuff, starting at the beginning, you need a heavier gauge wire than what anybody sells. That's why I prefer to make my own. And if you want to make it original looking, if you go to a place like Restoration Hardware, you can buy the cloth looking covers for this stuff and make it look original.
Yeah. Now, question.
Uh-huh.
Can you also call like Rhode Island Wiring or
sure.
Y&Z and have them make
yes,
your
you can.
Own cables?
You can. You okay. absolutely can. See, I've done enough, so I have, and I'll get to making wires in just a minute, but on a 6-volt system, the best battery cable that you can buy, positive and negative ground, and we'll get to grounds in just a minute. See, this is a huge subject, this basic electrical troubleshooting stuff. How was our electrical class that we did was, what, 4 days long?
Three days long?
Three. 3 or 4, anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of the big stores, like Napa, the big Napas, if you go, and the way you get the best wire, is you go to a welding supply place and buy 00 Lincoln Buzzbox welding cable. It's 00. It's probably 3/4 of an inch around.
Yeah.
It's fine, flexible wire, and the current load on these things is unlimited. So you take it to a place and you figure how much you're going to need, and they'll cut it for you. If you say you want to do positive, negative, okay, fine. They'll just get your measurements, and some of them have the tool, but a Napa will have the ends that they can put on there, solder and squeeze. They have a special, I have one home. It's a big funny looking thing and you hit it with a hammer and it crimps the wires together.
It's a crimping tool.
Yeah, well, but I would hate to put your finger in there and hit it. I mean, it's strong. And you do that. Now the pipe from the battery to the starter is big enough. And these people, I see it all the time on tours, and a lot of guys will come up and say, why is my car crank so slow? And you go and say, well, first thing you got to do is get rid of the battery cables. And the other thing is heat. General Motors, for example, small block Chevys and their relatives, when it gets hot under the hood, that General Motors starter does heat also causes resistance. That's why you can go to like any of the racing places like Summit or Jags or Speedway, and they have a blanket and the Velcro that goes over the starter to cut the temperature down. So if you have an old car and you're having that problem, it's a cheap, easy thing to do in battery cables, and you're going to solve a lot of your electrical issues just simply by that. Nothing, just simple. It's not a huge expense. You're under $50 for this stuff. And add as many grounds as you can. And we'll go to positive, negative ground. It doesn't matter. DC, it doesn't care. It makes no difference. But again, DC requires, and a lot of the stuff, the auxiliary stuff, there's a block on the starter that when you turn the key, it turns everything off in the car except the starter and the ignition. Everything goes away. Everything stops and goes away. So, and then when you let go, and once it starts and you let go of the key, then it feeds the rest of the stuff, and you can turn your lights on, and you can turn your blower motor on, and you can turn your big tube radio that's so big it lives under the seat. Like that Cadillac.
My only story was I had a 51 GMC pickup when I was farming. And the battery, it was a 6-volt. And this was back in the early 60s. So it had some age on it, to say the least. And I knew the battery was going. And so I started looking for a 6-volt battery. And just this was in 62, 63, that area. And a lot of places had quit carrying 6-volt batteries because they were passé. So, and then it became a hassle to try to find one.
Oh, it's easy now.
Yeah, but back then, they were all switching over to 12.
Yes. Yeah. And
by 65, most of the systems were 12 volt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Starting in the 50s, a small block Chevy, everybody shifted to negative ground because it's very confusing for people because they don't understand. Actually, negative ground is correct. Electricity flows from negative to positive. It doesn't flow positive to negative. Hmm. It goes the other way. And it really doesn't care on a car. It most of the stuff, until you get the solid state stuff where it's polarity. You know, a lot of the circuit boards and all that stuff all have polarity. They have to be connected in a circuit a certain way. But anyway, so when you're doing a harness, you want to use the biggest wire that you can. 6-volt stuff just doesn't have the push. It does not have the push to do stuff. And to prove it sometimes, I'll show people, I'll say, okay, let me show you something. You have a heater in this car, right? Okay, fine. Let's turn the heater blower motor on. All right. Now, let's turn the headlights on and watch what happens to the blower motor. The speed is cut by at least 25%.
Yep.
It just can't deal with it. So the bigger the wire, the better you can. That's why I prefer to make my own, especially on 6-volt cars. And you can buy the stuff. Now, a lot of guys, when they do that, and this is really important to me anyway, is the right tools. You can go to Harbor Freight or you can go to Napa and you can buy a wire stripper and crimping a wire stripper for $1.95. No. If you're going to do this stuff, your money ahead to buy the correct kind. Klein makes good. K-L-E-I-N, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Klein makes good electrical tools. They do. And they have a stripper that is outstanding, and it works fine. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. And then now everybody uses these crimp connectors, and that $1.98 thing that you bought at Harbor Freight, I walked up to people and they said, well, you know, my lights don't work anymore. And I look and see they've got crimp connectors on there, and I'll pick it up, and a lot of times I'll just pull the damn end right off. Because you have to have, when you crimp that, use those crimp connectors, you've got to have a big tool. And the Klein tool, the crimper, is probably 8 to 10 inches long, and it only has two things on it. One has a little tip poking out, and the other one is sort of, I don't know, sort of looks like a pair of lips.
It's like
if
a V.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a V.
Yeah. And the one with the tip poking out is for the non-insulated ones. And you put the opening in the connector on the side, and you put the tit side on the back of the connector, and you aren't getting those off. When you squeeze that thing down, it's not coming off.
And some people will solder.
Oh, yeah, that's the best, but how many people do that?
Yeah. Are we doing a break?
We're going to do a break.
We're broke,
right.
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio. Just talking to you about anti-car insurance. I think that if you're looking for the best coverage for your classic car, consider J.C. Taylor Insurance. They've been my insurer for years in this hobby and have the top rating of all of the insurance companies in the hobby. When you get ready for insurance, call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com on the Internet.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
This is Ron Camacho, host of the Business Hour, on Fridays from 10 to 11 a.m. Join me as I talk with passionate professionals on a program that profiles the best businesses, business professionals, business practices, and fascinating individuals to get an insider view of how America works, 10 to 11 a.m. on America's Web Radio.
Good morning. My name is Mike Mizell. I'm a retired Army colonel and president of the Johns Creek Veterans Association. We meet in Newtown Park, and part of one of our projects is the installation of the Healing Wall, the half-scale model of the Vietnam Wall that traveled the United States. Well, it's coming to rest, and it's going to live in Johns Creek forever, the half-scale model. We're looking at possibly a March implementation ribbon-cutting ceremony, and we're looking for donors and sponsors that want to help us in this great project. You can donate at jcvets.org.
Listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio, and we want to thank all of our brothers across the pond for listening to us and archiving and a couple of emails we've even received. And I want to thank them. I want to remind everybody that you can go to YouTube and look at these mug shots, or you can go to your local post office, one or the other, whichever is closest for you. Yeah.
I'm testifying in the impeachment committee next week.
Well, you'll be gone for the next 20 years, and using up Jim's tax dollars to boot. But anyway, we got a great show talking about wire harnesses. As you were talking about the red wire harness, red. Yeah. I was thinking about these poor guys that with the cut a cable out, you know, and fiber or whatever it is, and they have 10 jillion little wires, and some are red and white and brown.
And you mean the cable TV guys? That's
trying
really complicated
to match those suckers up.
That stuff is so far beyond my comprehension.
That's rocket science.
We were talking, or Jim had brought up the point too, and I, the few times I ever even messed with it, I did exactly what you brought up, Jim, was that I soldered the ends.
Yeah.
And
that's the correct way.
Yeah. I didn't know correct from incorrect, but I soldered them.
When I worked for Lotus, I was over at Hethel at the plant. The wiring harnesses were made on, I'm going to guess,
a
4x8 board with a bunch of nails, and they laid the harness. And it was ladies.
Yeah.
There were ladies doing it. And I would have loved to.
And they'd
to
pick them up like they were babies when they got through with them?
Yeah, I would love to go and have them up the gauge of the wire on all that. And of course, the Italians use spaghetti. And God only knows, I know that better than anybody. But lately, as you know, I do contract work for automotive companies, and I have been in some dealerships where there are stacks and stacks of wiring harnesses that have been taken out of cars and replaced.
Yeah, I used to take one whenever I'd run out. I'm done with the last one I had. Now, I would throw, they're going to throw them away. I'd grab one and just use it to cut sections.
Oh, yeah.
All I needed was a little section of wire.
Okay, you want to check out your wire harness. Can you do it with an ohms meter?
Well, ohm meter gives you continuity.
Well, I'm saying it's going from this end to that end.
You have continuity. But it doesn't tell you what's going on. I'll get to that in just a few minutes when we start talking about it. But let me get back to it. If you're going to buy the right tools, it's going to save you a whole lot of aggravation, because that's what everybody does now is the crimp connectors. Mm-hmm. Very few guys solder them anymore.
Well, that takes time.
And I used to have guys that would come into class and I'd just show them. And one of the exercises I did was, it's so stupid. It sounds stupid, but I would have guys solder a connector on a wire. You show me how to do it. And invariably, 90% of the guys would take the have the wire laying on the table. We had a little pad and lay them on the table. And then they'd heat the solder to get it on the wire, and it's rolling around all over the table, and I'd say you heat the wire and put the solder on top, and you need a real soldering iron. Don't get these ones for $3.99 complete with solder. Get a good. Was it Wen that made the good ones?
Isn't it about a 25-amp soldering iron that. I mean, the other ones, the 10 and 15 amps, aren't worth a damn.
Well, you get the one makes the one that's adjustable. For the talk about gauge of wire, too. One that I didn't mention is I mentioned the battery cable. But what people don't understand is the higher the number, the skinnier the wire.
Yeah.
They don't understand that.
Well, that's true with house wire. You know?
But they don't
14
get
gauge is thinner than 12 gauge.
So I used to crack up and I'd watch these guys and you'd have, Chuhoy, brother.
Is that a bird?
Probably.
I guess. I don't
Must
know.
Must have hit the window.
Yeah. But I'd watch these guys and they'd do it. And they'd be swearing, God damn it, and those little balls are rolling around all over. What the hell are you doing here? Without industrial arts in junior high school and high school, they don't know what to do with this stuff.
And keep the tip of your soldering iron clean. Keep your wet sponge in a little container.
But we learned that in high school at industrial arts in your shop classes.
Yeah.
But they don't do that anymore. We're all studying Ethiopian culture and table place settings.
And women's history.
Yeah. I'm not even going there. But anyway.
All right.
It's not hard to do this stuff. Now, Dave mentioned, well, how can I tell? Okay, here's another stupid thing that people do. You go to the parts store and say, well, I want to save my battery, so I'm going to buy one of those green knob battery shutoffs. And first of all, if you have to use one, it goes on the negative side, not the positive side. And because that's on the way back to stuff. Anyway, so a lot of times with those things, if you take a voltmeter and you check the battery post, go across just the battery post, nothing on it, and get your reading. A 6-volt battery should be about 6.3, 6.4, 12 should be 12.7, 12.8, somewhere in that ballpark. And then you put that goofy little green knob on there. And then go ahead and touch not the battery post, but touch that green knob, and I almost guarantee you'll see a voltage loss. So you have a hard enough time to begin with. Now you've started at the source creating a problem, because the battery is the whole charging system and starting system. The whole electrical system is the battery. The battery maintains, runs, controls, does everything. That's the main player, because the battery talks to the alternator or generator and says, give me. And when it's saying give me, it gets priority. It goes first, and everything else suffers. So you put this little stupid $1.95 green knob on there, and if you look at it, and especially on 6-volt, because electricity is heat, heat is electricity. On 6-volt, when that starter cranks, it, and you hold that wire, it gets hot, especially if you're using a crappy little wire, 4-gauge, you know, whatever. It melts the plastic. And the only contact, if you look on this, between the battery terminal and the wire going out is a thing about the size of a 1/4-inch washer. When you screw the wonderful green knob down and tighten it up, that's all contact you have. So it's dumb. They make good battery disconnects, but they're about $75 to $100. We had to have them on race cars, obviously, yeah, with a big knob.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they do their job, and they don't inhibit, you don't get a voltage loss across these things. And again, you're not going to check it with a voltmeter, because or an ohmmeter, it's going to tell you, oh, I got continuity, everything is fine. No, it doesn't work that way. The thing to remember in electricity and wiring harness is the wire is the size of the pipe you're trying to get water through. Look at electricity as water. The bigger the pipe, the more water you can move. And the bigger the wire, the more electricity you can move. So it's kind of interesting. Now, as cars in the 50s got more and more complex with stuff, and this is going on right now in the industry, we started adding air conditioning. We started adding electric windows, electric seats, all of this extra stuff. And the poor 6-volt battery said, well, I can't do this. I just can't do it. The only way I can do it is if you make me the size of this table so I have the capacity to deal with this. And speaking of capacity, they've started to change. Everybody was cold cranking amps. Oh, I got to have high cold cranking amps. Yes, you do, especially living in Florida where it's freezing constantly. It's an idiotic concept. I can't remember the exact chain name now they're using for stuff. There's a new name for that gives you capacity. You can use cold cranking amps because everybody's used to that, but they have a new specification that they're using that tells you how long the battery will do stuff. And a battery has, you aftermarket batteries generally have about 3 to 5 years, and that's all you're going to get out of it. So when you're getting to that point, you better start paying attention.
You know, something I'd like to bring up at this point, talking about batteries, is that in the old days, when I was around, you know, when the battery, you knew that, hey, I think my battery's I'm going to need a new battery.
Needed water.
Yeah. Today, you drive in, you park, everything's nice and wonderful, you come back out, and it's dead in a doornail.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that, you know. I liked it when there was a little warning and you could go someplace and
there's a drain on the battery even with the ignition.
It's called a parasitic load on new cars. Computers, ECUs, radios, clocks, all of this stuff never turn off. So there's a load constantly on there are things telling the battery, give me a little. I want us to maintain all of your radio stations. I want to keep the clock running.
And your GPS.
Well, all of this stuff requires a constant voltage source. It's called a parasitic drain. And if you're wondering what it is, and if something's really sucking the electricity out, take and put a voltmeter in line, or an ammeter in line, and start turning, unplugging or turning things off. And you'll see that it'll start dropping back to zero.
With that, we'll let people think about it, and we're going to take our last break. You're listening to America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show with Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber. We'll be back right after this.
This is Daryl Pullis inviting you to listen to America's Homegrown Veggie Show right here every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern Time. Great guests, great tips, and valuable information about growing your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs.
Hi, my name is Steve Rinaldo, host of the Classic Car Show on America's Web Radio, talking to you about antique car insurance. In this hobby that I've been part of for years, not all insurance companies and insurance coverage is the same. I would suggest that you call J.C. Taylor or visit jctaylor.com to find out some information about some of the best antique car insurance you can get, such as agreed value insurance for your classic car. Again, if you're when you get ready to insure your classic antique or even your street rod, call J.C. Taylor Insurance or visit jctaylor.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show, and we were just discussing our schedule for the holidays coming up, the 28th. We would be doing a show on we'll be doing the show on the 24th, but not on the 1st of December, which is the Saturday of basically the Saturday of Thanksgiving, and then we'll look at Christmas. We'll have Christmas Day is on the 25th, and it's what day is it? It's a Tuesday. So Jim has volunteered to come in on the 22nd and 29th just to do the show by himself, and we honor that, and we appreciate that he's...
Are you concerned
I'm not going to be. I know we're not going to be here.
Are you concerned about David's mental acuity?
No.
I am.
Steve's known I'm crazy for years, so...
Well, and I won't be here either, so...
Well... Can you loan me your dog?
I'm going up to see my dogs.
Oh, you're going up to... Okay, well, anyway... We've got about 12 minutes to go, folks, and
yep. let's keep rolling. Professor Rinaldo going here.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what's happened? Just to sort of fill you in, when we started adding all this stuff, and 6 volts couldn't do it, other than increasing the size of the battery to huge, they went to 12 volts. Okay, 12 volts requires. It requires less push. It requires less amperage. So we could do stuff. Now what's happened is because of the cars of today with all of the electrical stuff, you have electrical power steering, you have electrical run air conditioning compressors, you have rear window defrosters, you have all of this stuff. Some of the charging system for the new 12-volt systems are so powerful and stress so much, the alternators are water-cooled.
Those are like 75 amp and above, aren't
well,
they?
Yeah, they're 150, 200, but they run so hot, they're water-cooled. Now, because we're reaching the end of 12 volts. 12 volts is going away.
Well,
and you're going to see 24. 24 is already out there, and I'm not talking about hybrids and all this stuff yet. And that's a whole different ballgame.
Would you daisy chain them like 212s?
Well, you could, but again, that just doesn't work. It just not. It doesn't have what it needs. Any connection takes electricity.
So really, we're talking volts. But yeah. The reality is amps.
Well, volts is sort of amps is the power, but volts is the push. And anyway, then what happens is now, and you're starting to see if there's a couple, and I want to say they're German cars that are 48. Isn't there a couple 48 volts?
I've heard of it, but I can't tell
you
who.
Yeah, they're going to 48.
We were doing some 24 volt stuff in Florida, weren't we, in the hot weather?
Yeah. Because heat is resistance.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so there's so many changes going on. And when Hyundai first came out with hybrids, they used to have where the battery, and I didn't know that much about it because I, being a gas guy, I would, they had a label on their, on the battery compartment, incorrect or unauthorized service procedures may result in death. So a label. So I had some T-shirts made for our techs were coming. See, it happened at that point. I had all the guys, so I was doing less and less actual hands-on stuff and more shuffling a bunch of stupid papers around. Then we passed out that and had that same sticker on a T-shirt and gave them out to the guys who came to the hybrid class. But so things are changing drastically. At this point, the technician's primary diet, it's not like what we did with points and this stuff. You know, you could use a voltmeter. Well, you can't do that anymore. It's all done on a computer.
Well, and they replace components now. Yeah, they don't repair.
Yeah, they don't rebuild them and all of this other stuff. I just had the Cadillac starter done. It was $125 to have it rebuilt. And boy, has it made a difference. But anyway, quick troubleshooting, a couple things to look. What is a short circuit? Well, first of all, I want to cover the nomenclature. There's two short circuits. One is a short circuit, which means that it doesn't work as it's supposed to. It works, but for example, and this is sort of like where your body was going. So a wire gets hot or something happens or, you know, the two parking light and headlight wires touch. So when you turn the headlights on, the parking light stays on. That's a short. It's not controlled. It's just on. It's just there. Okay? And then there's short to ground. This is the one that people, there's two. A short circuit, it doesn't work the way it was intended. A short to ground, what happens is the wire, if it's a negative ground car, the whole car is a wire. That's another thing people don't get. The car is a wire, unless it's a Corvette. Then it's always hit and miss anyway. Fiberglass.
You led into a question that I wanted to ask. All right, you got the Corvette that you just mentioned, but say I'm the one that's on the designing the new car, and I've decided that I want a pop-off roof and that's on a string and will pop back on if I wanted to. I don't know exactly how close to all of the does the engineer that's the designer and the electrician
like
and
like this
are they okay
yeah. So yeah. Because their purpose is to design the system to work as inexpensively as possible.
Well, that's why you get the finance guy in there, and he says, no, we got to get cheaper wire.
The CEO, it's whatever they are, Donna Lovely, who used to work for Colgate Toothpaste now, is now the head of General Motors. And, well, can't you do it cheaper?
Donna Lovely.
anyway, but short to ground is a whole different ballgame. That's when everything burns up. Because remember, electricity will take, any component takes what it needs or what it can get, what it needs. So when it shorts to ground, the car is the component. And the car says, all right, battery, give me all the shit you got. Give it to me all. And battery just lets go. And that's where you get fires. And that's where it kills the battery and kills everything. That's a short to ground. When that happens. And honestly, for the average guy, the easiest way, it sounds stupid, but these cars are so complicated, is to unwrap the harness the best you can. Okay? And turn, let it go, turn the key on. And it sounds stupid, because is feel or look for where the wire gets the hottest. You can see it instantly. And you say, oh, there's the wire. There's where my short is. It's in this circuit. Now, they do make short testers. They sometimes work, sometimes don't work. Because if it's a big short, if a battery, if you have something heavy, heavy duty, boy, I'll tell you, it ain't going to last long. And your battery can blow up. Mm-hmm. A battery can blow up. So they're short and short to ground. Now, if you're looking to find out, well, why doesn't my headlight work? And I put a new bulb in and it doesn't work. Okay. So here you get a voltmeter and you start at the, you always, any electrical troubleshooting for inoperative circuits, you start at the battery. You have to know what the battery is. So a headlight, and especially if it's an incandescent bulb, draws a lot of current, takes a lot. So anyway, you start there and you go to the battery and say, all right, I've got 13 point something here. All right. Or 12 point something here. That's okay. That tells me that the battery has enough crap to it, has enough. All right. Then what I do is I go along, I find that there's a connector that goes to the ignition switch. And I reach up in there and I touch the connector from the battery. I should read there what I read at the battery. And then I follow that wire out, or you can start at the bulb and skin the wire back a little bit and put some stuff on it at the end. Oh, one more talking about stuff with this anyway. And then go there. Do I have a reading there? No. So something before that is taking the electricity. Because when a component is being used on the used side or the ground side, it should read zero or damn close to it. Anyway, so you go back, keep going back or go forward until you find where you've lost your voltage and that's the point where whatever's working is working. It's not getting to where it's supposed to. So it's not hard stuff. It's very easy if you know the basics. One other thing I want to do, because I know we're almost out of time. Dielectric grease is a big problem. People do not comprehend dielectric grease. Guys, home mechanics and stuff. Dielectric grease is a non-conductor. Do not put dielectric grease on things that are going to have to conduct electricity. You'll see people shove that crap in a spade connector. And then put it on, and you're restricting, you stop it. There is conductive grease, but the reason we use dielectric grease is it's a non-conductive. We seal the back of connectors. We seal the master connectors, shove it in the back to keep it from corroding. But it is a non-conductor, and you can prove it to yourself. Get a little dab of chassis grease, and get a little dab of dielectric grease and put your ohm meter across. The chassis grease will conduct electricity, small amount, and you'll get an ohm reading. The dielectric grease will show you nothing.
Well, folks, I feel like I went back as a freshman in college, and Steve has gone through it. This has been
very
fantastic.
Fast. This is fast. And the way to do this is to show people. Yeah, that's what I had to do. I had to show them. And then they'd go, oh.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, it's so easy. Right. It's the easiest part of the car is electrical stuff.
With that being said, we got to put a plug in the jug and get out of here. We'll be back next week, or some of us will, or I will. But anyway, somebody will. Anyway, so with that being said, thanks for listening to America's Web Radio and the Classic Car Show. And we do appreciate it.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.